one, and oh well, here we are, Wednesday, halfway through another week, halfway, well, over halfway through July, and here we are with another book and a chat. Well, it is, or it should be, actually a double act today, but we were due to have one of the double act on a while ago, and then we, here in Connecticut, Ryan, we had a huge storm, lost the power and everything like that, got no internet, so I had to cancel that, and now though, we have the other part of the act, though this gentleman is no stranger to the show. But first off, we should have had Ed Fuller, who is, well, as I say, he's part of the person who wrote this, not just his books, this series. But he's also sort of written another other books, and he's a lot of global consortiums and stuff like that, Marriott, marketing and along those lines, you know, hotels and all that sort of side of stuff, as well as being a captain in the US Army who was stationed in Germany and Vietnam and received the Bronze Star and the Army Commendation Medal. But he is not here. But who, a gentleman who is here was in fact on the show a couple of years ago, I think now, in his own right. I better introduce him. We can talk about that bit first. But on the show, I have the one and only Gary Grossman. Hi, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Barry. Thank you. It is tea time here in Los Angeles. I think it's probably a little later, or is it always tea time?
It's never not tea. The only time it's not tea time is when it's beer o'clock. But yes, I have my tea in the morning, my tea at 11 in, my tea at 3 in the afternoon, and quite often tea in the evening, but it depends. But yes, it's always good, as people know, you know, that's what we do this show, is sitting down having a chat over a cup of tea, and that's how we are. But welcome back, as I say, Gary, because you've been
Thank
on before
you.
Talking about your own books, the executive series, wasn't it? Executive Action,
yes. Yes.
Treason, Command, Executive. False. How's that series going, as a matter of interest?
Well, thank you. It's going great. The books have been optioned, in fact, by A&E Studios for television adaptation.
Oh,
and I
good.
Have a meeting coming up on this coming Monday, so I'm thrilled about that. And, you know, certainly with Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and all the other new streaming services, there's so many ways to bring really good, entertaining, thoughtful, powerful, enlightening stories to television. And I think my executive books, as do the Red Deception two mm-hmm. books, and we'll talk about those in a moment, they really show that the real and present dangers are multiplying,
yep.
and that we need to be aware. We just, wherever we live, and not trying to scare listeners, but wherever we live, today for us, the rule is if you see something, say something.
Right, right.
And that digs deep into the executive books and now in Red Deception.
Right. Interesting, because, you know, I remember going back into the 60s and 70s, and, you know, we had a whole campaign in England on the television about, you know, if same thing, if you see it, say about it. And, of course, as you say, it's even more relevant this day and age, you know, with, unfortunately, so much going on. One thing I forgot about, and I don't remember, perhaps we did sort of briefly touch on this, but I don't remember, is there the other award-winning book of yours, Old Earth, a geological
yes,
thriller.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, I must say I have a great time writing, and I came to my career as a novelist. I'd say late in life. I don't want to consider myself late in life uh-huh. at this point, but it was certainly later in terms of my career. I've been a television producer in Los Angeles. I was a newspaper writer and TV producer and teacher in Boston. I grew up in upstate New York, just 11 miles outside of New England, in the Hudson Valley. And I really, I've had so many different elements in my career. The career in writing novels began, and I remember the date exactly. It'll become obvious in a moment. My business partner in television, Rob Weller, and I were pitching to one of the television channels based out of New York, and one of the people at the network said, and this will probably give away the network name too, do you think we're running out of history? and Barry, I thought, what are they talking about? And I had much the same reaction, but I said, who knows what's going to happen later today
exactly.
or even tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember that date. That date was September 10th, 2001.
Right.
One day before 9/11.
Right, yeah.
One day. Now, in fact, what they were doing was exploring whether or not they would move into reality TV.
Right.
From a lot of the history programming. Well, Rob Weller and I had to get back to Los Angeles. The airports were not open. We drove back. And during that time, I started thinking about the plot, to bring down the World Trade Center towers, horrific,
uh-huh.
7-8 years in the making. And I began thinking about what might be a plot that would be worth waiting 20 years for, 30, right. 35 years for. And I came up with the notion that that would be the presidency itself.
Yes.
Could the Russians insert a sleeper cell spy who could rise up through American politics, run for office, and actually win the election? And that was executive actions.
Right.
And that began my career in thriller writing right through today, now collaborating with Ed Fuller. You gave him a wonderful introduction. I'm sorry he's not here today. Ed is, I like to describe, imagine yourself sitting with the most interesting person in the world at a dinner party or at a cocktail party or a tea party.
Mm-hmm.
And you find yourself just amazed with his or her stories.
Yeah.
That's Ed Fuller. He was the president of Marriott International for many, many years.
Right.
And I learned in, probably 30 seconds after meeting him, he was as much in the anti-terrorism business as the hotel business.
Yeah.
He had to work to get his team and Americans and foreign travelers outside, international travelers, out of Cairo at the fall of Mubarak.
Gaddafi
fell
yeah.
in Tripoli. Bombings in Jakarta of hotels, and also preventing that kind of disaster from happening by having the right security measures in place.
Exactly.
That's
and I can
who
see
I get to write with.
And I can see, obviously, his army background helping with that. And people don't think, they think it's more of a hospitality thing, but that's only part of it in a big company like that,
it's
obviously.
Absolutely. Only part of it, and the thrill for me, and I have a good time doing whatever I'm doing, but really the thrill for me is writing a novel. Now, this is the second novel with mm-hmm. Red Hotel is the first, and Red Deception, it's just come out, is the sequel, which you don't necessarily need to read the first in order to get into the second, but it's a good idea. But Ed's stories become the basis for the fiction.
Okay.
Yet the actual events are real, and they're his, whether it's making sure that we put the story in Ukraine, getting people out in time as Russia's on the border and beginning to move in and is ready to take Kiev.
Mm.
That's based on a story of how he got people out of Tripoli.
Right.
With a series of buses. Thrown into the fact that one of the buses, you load them up, and the bus driver loses the key.
God. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So what do you do? How do you get those people up? That's a story
in
Red Deception. And it's rich with great storytelling and information that really focuses on something everyone's talking about. Congress was doing it today. God knows they'll be talking about it tomorrow,
yeah.
having not solved it.
Yeah.
And that's America's infrastructure.
Yeah.
How vulnerable our infrastructure is.
Right.
Bridges and roads.
Oh,
and
crack,
tunnels,
yes. Yeah.
Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
So I get to work with the real deal.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure. It's an honor.
It's amazing. Just one thing I want to go back on. You know, I said about this sort of, the books and stuff like that. And you said about, the TV and that sort of thing. You just mentioned that you are a multiple Emmy winner. for series and specials on loads of channels. So it's not just a, you know, you're not just a sort of normal TV person. You are a multi Emmy award winner. We forgot to put that in. So you, what's led to then? I mean, did you sort of just meet and get on well with the ideas? What led to you writing with Ed?
Well, great question, and I'd love to answer this. There's a James Bond connection to all of this, Barry. I don't mean that metaphorically. There is a James Bond connection. I was walking our dog, who's sitting in, just beside me right here in my office in L.A. I was walking our dog one night, and I bumped into a neighbor. He was walking his dog. His dog's name is Shadow. Mm-hmm. Interesting, given the background that I'll get into in a moment.
Right.
This fellow, Bruce Feirstein, said, "Gary, oh, so glad I bumped into you today. There's somebody I'd love for you to meet. I'm on a board with him at Boston University. He's the former president of Marriott International. He's written a book called You Can't Lead with Your Feet on the Desk,"
yep,
which really discusses how you have to get out in the field and understand culture and people and everything.
Right.
He wants,
yep,
to have a collaborator for a novel. And I said, "Bruce, this is interesting, but I've never collaborated with anyone on a novel before. I certainly do television." He said, "Look, you know what I write. You know what I do. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't think it was a good match. You have to meet with him." Okay, who is Bruce Feirstein? Bruce Feirstein wrote the first three Pierce Brosnan James Bond movies.
Right. Yep.
Okay, and he was lived a few blocks away.
Right.
And he said, "You've got to meet him." I met him. That's how it happened. And interesting, as a journalist, I would record people. I would set up a camera. I would set up an audio recording with Ed Fuller. I don't do that. I write notes. And what's interesting is that I listen better. And there's that old thing going back to middle school, to high school, to university. If you're writing something with your hand, it goes to your head.
Mm.
If you're just typing it, it kind of just goes somewhere. But I swear to God, I could probably still take one of my high school or college notebooks and know where something is, where it is on the page.
Yeah.
Because of that connection. So in working with Ed, we meet regularly. We talk a few times a week. Before COVID, we would meet regularly over, lunch, mm-hmm, breakfast, dinner. Now it's more... it's more Zoom, mm-hmm, but he's only an hour and a half away in south of LA, and I just find the most fascinating stories, and we fashion a thriller based on it. In Red Hotel, it was, and in both books, in fact, loosely disguised is a character named Nikolai Gorshkov. He is loosely disguised as Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
He's our Putin character who, what does he want to do? The same thing that Putin wants to do. He wants to rebuild the old Soviet empire with the nation states that had made up the old Soviet bloc.
Right.
He wants the countries and the riches and the money and the protection from NATO. And that's an underlying theme that goes through both Red Hotel and Red Deception. But it's real. And we know what he has done to people, so we're not inventing that side of it. What we are inventing is maybe, possibly, tomorrow's headlines, tomorrow's news.
Interesting. I think it was a couple of weeks ago they were sort of talking about Russia Today, and I think that nearly everything is imported. There's hardly anything that, you know, the self-sufficiency or anything much like that, but nearly everything they have of any note is imported these days, and it just no wonder they want to sort of get back to the original USSR size sort of thing.
Well, absolutely, and curiously, Russia stands to be one of the most one of the richest countries in the world because of global warming. And I'm going to be jumping ahead here. This is part of what our next book is called, Red Chaos. Red not having to do, by the way, with Russia. Red having to do, which I can talk about, the threat assessment at different hotels.
Being
highest.
Right.
Okay. But global warming, what is that doing? It's melting the ice in the Arctic, opening up the Northern Sea Route. What does that mean? It means, among other things, they're controlling it. They want to charge for ships to transit. They want to have their pilots on the ships that go through. But it's the fastest route for Russia to get its oil to China.
Yeah.
China has money. Russia has oil.
Yeah.
China will give Russia money for its oil. Also, in Siberia, they stand to have the largest breadbasket in the world as frozen lands become more habitable.
Of course, yes.
And environmentally better for growing wheat and soy, which will take away from our market.
Yep.
So that's the accident already happening and more of it waiting to happen that will benefit Putin, or in our books, Nikolai Gorshkov, but will our tomorrow's news.
Indeed. When you have these meetings with Ed and take notes and stuff like that, do you then sort of write a couple of chapters and then go, meet again to discuss them? How do you work like that?
Well, Ed would love it if I wrote a couple of chapters and gave it to him to read. But the way we worked it out is that we meet constantly and talk about plot points, but I write the whole book.
Okay.
And he's very willing to discuss that and share that. And we are a collaboration because there's not a story that goes in the book or a plot point that we haven't discussed. Even if we have not come up with it together, if I come up with something, I'll say, hey, Ed, this thing just landed on me. And now let's see how we can work it in. And do you have a story that can tie it together? And invariably he does, because he's had to deal with triads in China, the cartels in Mexico, dealing with members of his teams and staff being kidnapped. He's got this incredible wealth of stories. I have my contacts in the government, in the White House, and in law enforcement, in the Army, and I write from the comfort of my keyboard, just as I am talking to you under the comfort of my leather and wood chair here in Los Angeles. No, he's been out there and he has done it. So we completely collaborate, and on Red Chaos, the third book, he's going to get the first draft of that in about 2 weeks.
Sounds like
he is chomping at the bit.
I bet. It sounds like, it sounds a really good way the two of you have become to work together. Has it got easier, as you now into your third book, or is it almost like a natural thing moving along?
It is like a natural thing. We're amazed that we never really argue about anything. We collaborate about everything.
Right.
And as with my partnership in television with Rob Weller, with Weller Grossman Productions, which we had for years, two smart people coming together who respect each other, it almost doesn't matter which idea you go with, because either one will be good. And as long as you're communicating, it breaks down if you're not communicating, but as long as you're communicating, it's like, oh, okay. And Ed will come up with stories, and I'll say, Ed, I think we've got this one locked. Let's move that into the next book.
Right.
Or he will say, we haven't developed this enough. Here's a little bit more information. And so many of these stories, if you do pick up, you can't lead with your feet on the desk. His business book, they're all in there too. We've just fictionalized them.
Fictionalized. added the frills around the edge, sort of thing. Right.
Absolutely. I'll bring up one of my favorite movies from just 2 years ago. I'm sure you've seen it, Yesterday. about what if the Beatles, you know, no one remembered the Beatles, and they didn't.
Oh, that, yeah, that yes, I know that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, lovely, wonderful, wonderful film with obviously great music. Somebody taking just this little gem of an idea and turning it into fiction, and just making this incredible experience for us based on a common knowledge that we have.
Right.
And for us, common knowledge is, yeah, we like to travel. We like to go places.
Right.
We count on things being okay and safe. Why are they like that? Because there are some people who take their jobs very,
exactly,
very seriously. And that's all in Red Deception.
Right. Well, Red Deception came out in June, I believe. And as you say, it's...
Yes.
It's about, you know, the attacks on the infrastructure, something that we see all the time, albeit, you know, cyber, or be it physical, or what happened. And we see how flimsy it all is, how risky it all is, and how it amazes me, you know, everybody's data is stored in the cloud, right, these days, or connected by the cloud. Well, I know the cloud is not just one location, it's numerous locations, et cetera, et cetera, but it... You know, what happens? What would happen to this world if anything happened to the cloud? You know, the banks would go
unimaginable.
I mean, nothing would happen. You know, the banks would go broke. You know, nothing would work because everything's linked via computer through and stuff like that. It, you know, it's just amazing. And it happened as we saw with that ransomware with the oil, for instance.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden,
it totally shut down.
Yeah.
And Barry, to that point, just as the things you're talking about, what would happen? What if somebody did this? After 9/11, who were the, among others, but who were some of the primary people that the Pentagon brought in, that the NSA brought in, CIA, to say, what are we not thinking about? We missed 9/11. What were we not thinking about? Who did they bring in? They brought in screenwriters like Bruce Feirstein, the James Bond films. They brought in thriller writers. They brought in movie producers saying, here's what you need to think about. And my best way of telling that story is, if you were running a flight school in Arizona, as was the case in New Mexico, and people come in and say, we want to learn how to fly a jumbo jet. Great, so you can sign up here. But we're not interested in learning how to take off or land.
Mm.
If somebody said that, wouldn't you think, that's odd? I
don't
need to fly a jumbo jet, but I don't need to land it?
Yeah.
I need to tell somebody about this.
Yeah.
Nobody did.
Nobody. I mean, and this is the thing. Too many people are scared to say things, and they still are. People turn their heads, or you look the other way, and stuff like that. And the world, unfortunately, is still like that. Just a brief thing on 9/11. And I don't know if you knew this, but I'd been over here. That was like my second year, and I was working in the computer room, like big screens up of one with the news, one with the weather forecasts on. Of course, when it happened, we were watching the planes, etc., like that. And we were right opposite the NASDAQ building, as it then was. And so, you know, everybody went home. They asked for volunteers to stay on, and everybody else went home because we were too, you know, this is another risk, you know, people, oh, crikey, my parents live near the oil refineries, it's, you know, they're going to bomb Texas next, they're going to do this, that and the other. Well, after living in England for, you know, 40 odd years, and all the issues we'd had over there, you know, you got a bit like, well, if your number's up, your number's up. You could be sitting outside a cafe one time and a truck comes up and jackknifes and wipes the people out, and you have no say in the matter on that. So I stayed on. Anyway, a week after 9/11, in New York City itself, they had a 250 head dinner for Sinn Féin. And it was packed and everything. This is after, we won't stand for terrorists, etc. Well, Sinn Féin is the political wing of the IRA. So basically, a week after 9/11, you had a fully booked dinner for a load of terrorists. And, you know, the rest of the world sort of picked up on this, but of course America didn't at all, you know. But, you know, it was just, it's just how it is sort of like that. Anyway, enough of my anecdotes.
And by the way, that sounds like a scene out of one of the Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy novels as well. Not Some of All Fears, but Real and Present Danger, maybe. We have to be aware. You know, well, I started with if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
I was at a bar attached to a restaurant in New York next to the Hotel Mila on West 44th Street, I think. I was sitting there waiting for my daughter to come in, and somebody next to me at the bar got up and left. And there was a large shopping bag
right
there. And I thought, okay, he left. He's going to come back and get it. And after 30 seconds, I thought, that's enough time waiting.
Yep.
I write about this stuff. I better say something. And I said to the bartender, the man who was just here suddenly left. He didn't pay. He left a bag here, and he went out. And the bartender said, oh, thank you for mentioning that. Everything's okay. He's a regular. He just went out for a cigarette.
Right.
He's going to be back.
But at least you said about it. Back. Oh, he didn't.
He did come back.
Oh, he did, right.
Exactly. And he came back. However, in the first book in our series, Red Deception and Red Hotel, the first book based on Ed Fuller's real experience, a hotel was bombed in Jakarta, a Marriott hotel. It was not an outside job. It was an inside job, and the florist who had been there for years was one of the responsible terrorists.
Wow.
And why is a florist a good person to, or a bad person to have a bomb? Because bomb-sniffing dogs are thrown.
Won't be able to do a thing there, would they? No, indeed. Well, yes. Gary, it's been terrific chatting to you again. You and I could go on chatting forever. I know we could. But what I'm going to do now, anyway, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody more about the Red books and indeed about your own books. So over to you.
Well, thank you, Barry, and thanks for such a great time today. I have one of the greatest jobs in the world. I get to think the unthinkable. Sometimes it's unknowable, and then write about what we should be paying attention to. And that is certainly in Red Hotel and Red Deception, co-authored with Ed Fuller, former president of Marriott International. The books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but please, please, please support your local booksellers as well, your bookstores. Go back into them. They're opening again. We don't have an Audible or audio book yet, but we will soon. But it is on Kindle and hardcover for Red Deception, paperback, is Red Hotel, and they also have a hardcover edition. www.redhotel.com is the website to learn more about us. And I have had once again a fabulous time with you, Barry.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Gary. Good luck with the new book, and of course, when the next one comes out, perhaps you'll come back and chat to us again.
Love that. Thank you.
Well, there you go. My guest today, Gary Grossman, one half of a duet of writers with Ed Fuller. But as we said, Gary sent writing, Ed comes up, the story goes through it all. It's really interesting how they do it. But we've been talking about his latest book, Red Deception, Red Hotel being the first, Red Deception being the second, and as we heard, Red Chaos coming out after that. Gary, of course, Grossman in his own right, Executive Action, Executive Treason, Executive Command and Executive Force, and of course, Old Earth, as we discussed. Well, that was terrific, wasn't it? I will be back next week, but of course, before then, on Sunday, from 5 to 6 PM, we have those were the days, music from the 20th century, and the theme this week is a challenge. Somebody sent me a challenge to get a show on a theme. It's breakfasts. Yeah. An hour of music about breakfast. Think about it. And after that, between 6 and 7, we go back to the swinging 60s with an hour of music from around the world, not just the British invasion, from the 60s. And of course, next Tuesday, Wednesday, back here with a book and a chat. Well, until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget... Make sure it's working.